Rebecca started to remind her that she wasn't marrying him till August, after all. But in the lull that had suddenly fallen, with the only sounds the distant river and the chirring of the insects, she worried Nono was overhearing their conversation. So instead, she picked up a glass of champagne. "Time for our toast, everybody," she cried. One by one, they reached for glasses of their own. The children were the most enthusiastic. They raised theirs high above their heads, like people hailing taxicabs. The only exception was Peter, who sat on Nono's blanket in a puddle of heather gray sweatshirt and allowed his glass to dangle limply from one hand. Rebecca drew in a deep breath and began. "A toast to the bunch of us gathered together in this glorious spring weather, and to Zeb for scoping out the site, and Biddy for cooking with all her might." Her rhyming toasts were a tradition. She had no illusions about their literary merit. She knew they were pure doggerel. More than once, in a pinch, she'd been forced to rely on nonsense syllables, tra-la-la or tum-dee-diddle, to finish up a line. But her family had come to expect them, so she took another breath and went on. "And most of all, to Nono and Barry. We're so delighted they're planning to marry." "Hear, hear," the others murmured. Joey's glass had a bee on the rim, and there was a little to do, since Joey was deathly allergic. But eventually, they did all manage to take their sips. Then Barry said, "Well, thanks, you guys," and sheepishly rubbed the top of his bristly blonde crew cut. That was the best he could do? Oh, Rebecca always felt suspicious of the people that her loved ones fell in love with. She worried. She couldn't help it. But that was her deep, dark secret, because invariably she was the first to rush forward with a warm welcome. Now she raised her glass again. "And next," she said, "next, a toast to Peter, someone new in our family. Nothing could be sweeter." "Hear, hear," they repeated more loudly now, and Barry said, "Aw," and raised his glass to Rebecca. "That's very nice of you," he told her. But Peter said, "I'm not in your family." His speaking voice turned out to be high and thin and childish, but it managed to silence everybody. "I've already got a family," he said. Rebecca said, "I didn't mean, I'm sorry, I honestly didn't mean." Peter scrambled to his feet, tossing aside his glass. It sent out a spray of bright drops before it landed, intact, on the blanket. His floppy, borrowed socks nearly tripped him up, but he righted himself and started running. Not toward the river, thank goodness. He seemed headed for Barry's car, although it was difficult to be sure. Rebecca, rising from her bench with her fingers pressed to her lips, thought he resembled one of those charred paper bits that float above a bonfire, gray and weightless, fluttering without aim. As he neared the car, he glanced over his shoulder, and when he found Barry ambling behind at a nonchalant pace, he veered to the left without slowing down. In front of him was a green thicket. He plunged directly into it. "Stop him," Zeb said suddenly. Everybody looked at him. "He's going down toward where the river bends. He's headed for the water," Zeb said, and he set off at a lope. "Barry," he called. "Stop him. He's about to get wet all over again." Barry gathered speed. Peter entered the thicket and vanished. A moment later, Barry vanished too. And that is when the first intimation came to Rebecca from nowhere, brushing across her mind like the most delicate of moth wings. How on earth did I get like this? How? How did I ever become this person who's not really me?